This being Women's Sunday, Missionary Sunday, I was asked to share the message today. Sometimes I have special speakers, and sometimes it's me again. So I appreciate the ladies asking me to share on this special day, the latest Missionary Sunday. And we'll be looking at the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the great pearl or costly pearl, because it all revolves around the kingdom of God, because each one of these, again, begins with the kingdom is God is like. And that's how this one about the hidden treasure begins and the costly pearl. So I hope that with what we do here at Versailles Baptist Church and our missions and our ministries, that all of these parables relate to what we do. They interact with our life. Our lifestyle should be doing the things that the Lord has called us to do and to mimic the way that he did things. He did things with compassion. He did things to help people. He provided healing. He provided salvation. So those are the things that we're called to do. And he points all of these out, all of the things I'm talking about here in parables, the 39 parables that he spoke. So this morning, if you look with me, beginning with Matthew chapter 13, I'll beginning with verse 44, which is a hidden treasure, and then 45, 46 talks about the costly or the great pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then 45 says, again, in the kingdom of God is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl, just one, of the great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. So, looking at these three verses this morning, the hidden treasure, that's what I entitled it, because that's what it is. My question to you this morning, have you ever dreamed of finding buried treasure? Have you? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever had a metal detector and went out looking for stuff? When I worked at the University of Tennessee Space Center, back from 73 to 85, over 10 years or so, there was a man there named Jim Knight. He was an engineering technician. I worked alongside him with many of the engineers that were there. But Jim had a specialty. He had a very interesting hobby. He looked for buried treasures, and the buried treasure that he looked for was artifacts from the Civil War. Not far from where we were, there at the Space Center, probably 12 to 15 miles, was a little area called Bell Buckle. And there in 1863, from June the 24th to the 26th, there was a battle there. And there were many artifacts and so forth. And Jim went out there almost on a regular basis, and if not daily, looking for those. And one day he asked me, he said, "Hey, Mike, you want to go looking for buried treasures?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you, just to see what you do and see what you find." And we did. And he took his metal detectors and we looked, and he did find some more stuff. But he said, would you like to go see all of my collection I have at home? I said, sure. And I did, and I was just blown away. He had one huge room just full of all kinds of Civil War artifacts. I mean, buttons and medals, bayonets, swords, and just different things that he has found over the years. He has them framed. Big cases of just all kind of stuff. I said, Jim, I said, you have a worth of stuff here. What you going to do with it? He said, well, I just keep on accumulating. I said, people would give arm and leg to have this. They'd probably sell it for a big mint. He said, yeah, they probably would, but that's not why I'm doing it. So he also looked for artifacts for Indians and other things that, and he found arrowheads. He had cases of arrowheads and so forth that he had found there as well. So, and part of it was a challenge and interest, I believe, but the other reason was because he loved studying the history of the founding of our nation and how we got where we were. He was a history buff, so like myself, I like history as well. Also, treasure and its buying power have driven men for centuries to go on adventurous quests in search of it. I don't know, well, you don't remember because I don't even remember, but I've read about it back in 1849 in the California Gold Rush. You've heard it, you read it, and studied it, which resulted in many young men leaving their families behind in the East, never to return home again. And people have uprooted their families, risk bankruptcy, and even sacrifice their lives for lost treasure. They have. You read about it, and I've read about it, and still read different things on where people have really sacrificed their lives looking for buried treasure. So today, we're going to learn about the great treasure, one of which many have given their lives throughout the past 2,000 years. And I'm not talking about the treasures like, you know, we think about going out looking for artifacts and things like this, but it's also a treasure that others feel is not worth the pursuit. We are going to talk about this treasure. We're going to look, some people have risked their lives for it, while others tend to ignore and remain undiscovered, and that is the buried treasure that Jesus is talking about here. Here we have the parable of the hidden treasure. And what treasure is mentioned here? Think about it. What is it? Well, Jesus mentions it right off. It's the kingdom of heaven. That's the treasure. That's the real treasure that mankind should be seeking. That's why Jesus said the treasure, the kingdom of heaven is like. He mentions that in all 39 parables. That's the treasure. And it's hidden from many, many people because they're not seeking for it. They're not searching for the kingdom of heaven. And that's why Jesus shared about these parables, talking about the kingdom of heaven to the disciples and those who were his followers, because the unbelievers didn't understand. And he wasn't talking to the unbelievers because they wouldn't have got it anyway. When really the disciples didn't always get it either. We don't always get it. And we won't get it until we get into the Word of God and read it and study it and allow the Holy Spirit to discern and teach us exactly what Jesus' words mean. They mean they are precious treasures to us as believers, to our hearts, to our lives. So the man who bought the treasure found a treasure. Now, the Greek word that refers to this refers to the treasure chest or storehouse where the great treasure is kept. And it's the same word in Hebrews 11:26 to describe Moses, where it says, turning of his back on the treasures of Egypt in order to follow God. You know, Egypt had all kinds of treasures and so forth. And they was offered to Moses, but Moses said, no, I'm staying with God. I'm staying with the kingdom of God. I don't need all these golds and all these pearls and things like that. And that's why he turned back away from Egypt to follow God. So the treasure that this man found wasn't just a coin or a bag of gold, but it was a huge treasure, like what's contained in a treasure storehouse. Thesaurus, you know, the word thesaurus. It means it's a storehouse of many words, of definitions and meanings. And that's what this word means. It's used in the same Greek way here in this particular passage. So this treasure found wasn't just an ordinary thing. So when one discovers the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, it's like stumbling across a door in a field which leads to a huge treasure chamber hidden beneath. Now, if you were the man who found the treasure in the field, what would you do if you stumbled across it? What would you do? Well, that's something to think about. You might do exactly what he did. You would go in debt and buy the land. And many people over the years, even today, will go in debt to buy multiple acres of land. You know people who have thought and discovered maybe there's the black gold. You know what that is, don't you? Black gold? Oil. That people have found in their land. And other people find out about it, and they'll go and say, hey, would you sell this land? People wants to buy treasures. That they'll sell everything they got in order to buy something. Many people will. Not everybody, but if that's their pursuit, that's what they'll do. So the man sold all his possessions to buy the property. So why did he do this? Why would anyone do this? Because he knew that he was getting something far better in return. If you are sold out for Jesus Christ, if you and I are sold out for Jesus Christ, then we have a treasure more valuable than anything than you or I can ever imagine. And I believe that's why Jesus wanted to plant that in the disciples' mind, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, you will search for it. You will search for it. That's why Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. It's being established right now. Jesus is building his kingdom now on this earth, now as we are present, as I speak. Souls are being saved. Souls are being added to the kingdom of God. That's the treasure that Jesus is talking about. It's not these things that's going to perish in the end, burn up, and be done away with. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, And once you have of this, then anything else that follows will be yours. But seek first the kingdom of God. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. Any treasures or anything else on this earth that the world offers. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my treasure. That's what the men of the Bible speak of. That's what we speak of. That's what we need to hear today is the kingdom of God. So what is that causes someone to search for such a long time? It's because they believe in what they cannot see. So a dig, their search, their pursuit. I like the Hebrews chapter 11, 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things not seen. We haven't seen the true kingdom of God yet, but we can imagine it. We can help Christ build the kingdom of God as we witness and as we share Jesus Christ to the world. The true treasure that he's speaking about right here. Those who seek after the treasure are able to envision what they can't see. Treasure hunters don't need visible proof of what's out there. They follow what I would think. They follow their instinct and they follow their heart. Now, Jesus preached the kingdom of God, though none could see it. Even the disciples said, when is the kingdom of God going to be established? When is it going to happen? And Jesus said, don't worry about that right now. It is happening right before your eyes. Let's pursue the reason I'm here. And they went about doing good. Jesus went out about doing good. And those who envisioned the kingdom in their hearts caught the fever and acquired the desire for it because they had faith in what they could not see. That's why the Hebrew writer said, faith is the substance of those things that we don't see, that's hoped for, that eventually we will have. And it's evidence of those things we haven't seen yet, but we'll see one of these days. And those who needed to see the kingdom first before they could seek it never found salvation or eternal life in Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like the best treasure, the only treasure, the true treasure of God. So this parable describes how someone is converted and brought into the kingdom of heaven. That's what this passage of scripture is about. It's the things that we don't completely see yet, but are evident because Jesus talked about them, so we know they're true. It's an absolute. So faith is the substance of those things we haven't seen yet. We'll be seeing one of these days, and we must persevere in this world in order to see it one of these days. So those needed to see the kingdom of God first before they sought it or seeked it, never found salvation. So this parable describes how someone is converted and brought into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the home of our Heavenly Father, the King. He's the King. The treasure in the field is a fellowship of God in Christ. I mean, it's right here. According to this parable, we must be converted in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'd like to remind you what Jesus told Peter when Jesus said, Peter, let me wash your feet. And Peter said, no, 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 not washing my feet. And then Jesus said, well, you're not be a part of the kingdom of God. If I don't wash your feet, I'm being a servant to you. Well, that got Peter's attention, didn't it? Not only wash my feet, wash my head, wash me all over. Because I don't want to miss out on that great treasure. Now, when we, in order to see others come to know Jesus Christ, we need to become visionaries. Jesus was a visionary. He taught vision. Because the Bible teaches vision, the things that we don't see. The prophets taught, the Old Testament hearers, those things that we don't see are going to happen. That's why Abraham just kept on the journey to seek the promised land and the things that God promised. You didn't see him here on earth, but now he's visualizing, he's seeing them now. So we may not see the kingdom being built before our eyes, but God is being faithful in establishing it before our eyes. So if we want to see Versailles Baptist Church grow, we need to hang in there for a long haul, right? It is a long haul, and invest our gifts and our talents in return for a treasure of souls for the Lord. If we keep our eyes fixed on the vision of the heavenly prize, then we will maintain an everlasting joy. Okay, let's move on to the pearl of great price. Here we have the pearl of great price. And we read here a pearl merchant found, one pearl of great price. One pearl of great price. Of course, there are many great pearls and of great prices, but he found one and he sold it all so he could head to buy it. And he sold all that he could buy this one great pearl. So in verse 45, the pearl merchant found a pearl of great value. It was priceless. And the Greek meaning used describes a pearl meaning something that is very expensive, great worth, and it's priceless. That's what this means. It's the same meaning used of the expensive perfume used on Jesus' anointing right before his crucifixion. That's the same meaning. And then Peter, 1 Peter 1:7, he describes our faith as being greater worth than gold. That's how Peter described it. So the kingdom of heaven is priceless. Can't put a price on the kingdom of heaven. Many people have been martyred over years. Many wars have been fought for religious freedoms, all in the order to worship Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of heaven is something that people will die for and have died for and will continue to die for because they believe in Jesus Christ. Why he came, it will continue on in our life. Its value cannot be measured by mere human standards, for its worth is countless. So, in closing, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Good words. Jesus used good choice words. We're casting our pearls. Do not cast pearls before swines. Do not cast things that do not pertain to the kingdom of God. If believers in Christ are seeking worldly gain, then they are throwing away their real treasure to be trampled upon. That's what Jesus is talking about. They are pursuing the lusts and passions of this life, then they are tossing away their treasure to be trampled on by the host of unbelievers. Now, our real treasure is who? Jesus Christ. And He is beyond measure. So, if anyone here today, or anyone listening, doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then you can have the most valuable treasure of all. Eternal life is the greatest gift that anyone can see. And that's just what Jesus is talking about. That's why He says the kingdom of God is the ultimate treasure. So belonging to God's kingdom is a priceless treasure that exceeds earthly riches and advantages combined. It is. That is just it. See, God offers this priceless treasure to anyone and everyone who accepts Him, no matter if you're poor, insufficient, or how sinful you may be. The worst sinner in this world, the Lord will save him. You know, we talked about Wednesday, about Judas. Who betrayed Jesus? You know, Jesus gave him all the opportunity in the world to repent. But his treasure wasn't the kingdom of God. It was money and other pursuits and interests in the lust of the world. He felt guilty. And that's why he returned the 30 pieces of silver back. But it wasn't remorse like Peter, who went out and wept bitterly because of denying Christ and asked Jesus' forgiveness. And Jesus forgave him. It all has to do with the heart. It all has to do with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's that daily personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how we walk with Him from day to day, establishing and being a part of the kingdom of God. You know, it's being established today here, you know, on earth to be complete one of these days in heaven. That's why Jesus said, hey, this kingdom of God is ongoing, Peter, James, John, all the disciples. Because they was concerned, is it going to be completed now while we're here? Jesus said, it's ongoing. And one of these days I'll come back and it will be complete, completely established. And then our reign will be in heaven. Think about what Jesus is talking about here in these parables. It's a learning process in our lives to grasp everything that the Word of God, what Jesus taught. And that's why Jesus said, you know, I'm going back to the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will continue to teach you all things that I have shared with you. And then you're going to share that. And that's why He gave them the great commandment, a great commission to go. And it's as you go, not if you go, but as you go, and you're going to build the kingdom of God. It's all about the kingdom of God. That's the great treasure that we have found ourselves who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we are to share that treasure with others. Amen? That's what we are to do. Daily, every opportunity. Not all the other things of this world, not all the daily news. It needs to be fresh on our heart and mind. If it's not here, it's up here, but it's got to get from here, it's got to our hearts. before we actually will follow through for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for the messages of the parables that you teach us about the kingdom of God. And Lord, anyone listening here today and listening to our live broadcast that don't know you personally, they can be a part of the kingdom of heaven. Be a part of your great treasure, the only treasure, the true treasure, the salvation of Jesus Christ extended to each and every one, poor, insignificant, the worst sinner in the world, can have this treasure and be a part of the kingdom of God, your kingdom. So let us search our hearts, examine our hearts, Lord. Anything is there that shouldn't be, Lord, we just turn it over to you. We just say, Lord, take it and cleanse me of all sin. And Lord, you would do that. And then we should say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your kingdom and eternal life. Whatever the need is in each one of our lives, Lord, reveal that to us. Because you are a personal God. You're a loving God, caring God. And you want the best for all of us. And you want all people to be a part of your kingdom one of these days. We can be a part of it now. But the true establishment of it, completion of that, is when you come back again and set up your reign. And then, after that, it's permanent. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that our hearts are at the point that where you tenderly seek us, and then we yield to your Spirit. We surrender totally to you. Then there we are in full submission to you. And that's when you use us. That's when we are active and available to you, when we surrender submissively to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Let us turn to him. Whatever he leads, I'll go. Words on the screen or in your book. Let us stand as we sing our final song.